right. Man, Steve, how much stuff do you have up here? It's like, good grief, man. All right. Excellent. All right, can y'all hear me? Am I on? We good? All right, awesome. Somebody have a Bible? Somebody have it open to Proverbs 13:20? Okay, can somebody read that for me again tonight? Yes, Nathan, all right. Read it loud and proud. Excellent. Okay. Whoever walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm. If you guys remember, the last time we were together, we used that verse as sort of a launch pad verse. We talked about that. And the last time we were together, we talked a little bit about the positive side of that verse, right? And that the ultimate example of walking with the wise is actually walking with Jesus in his word. You want to walk with the wise and grow wise, then the best thing to do is to walk with Jesus in his word. If you guys remember, I gave you 5 reasons as to why that was true. Does anybody remember any of them? You guys would be impressive if you did. I preach constantly, and I don't remember what I preach the next day. 5 reasons, right? I said, 1, that you can't really know the Lord unless you know his word. Right? So if you want to walk with Jesus, you have to know his word. Right? To know the Lord is to know his word. Right, that was 1. We said that your faith needs the promises of Jesus' word, right? That you're going to go through life tempted to believe all kinds of things that aren't true, and we need the truth. We need the promises of what God says to us. That's why we need his word. Nothing has the power to influence like the word, right? We need the word because it's living and active, and it has the power to mold and influence and to shape us. That was 3. Fourthly, that the joy that you want in life can be found in Christ's word. You guys remember when Jesus said, Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you that my joy might be in you and that your joy might be full. Right? So there's joy in God's word. And then lastly, anybody remember the last one? Right? That there's work to be done. Right? That there's good works that God has called us to, things that actually your life can actually count and matter for something. So many young people want to live for something important, that their life would count for something more than just themselves. And God's work is what equips us for every good work that God's called us to. So that's what we talked about last time, sort of the positive side of, man, I want to walk with the wise. Well, let's walk with Jesus and his word, remember? Tonight, I want to talk a little bit about the negative side of that verse. Right, how a companion of fools will suffer harm, right? The whole point being that if you spend a long enough time around the wrong things, around foolish things, that inevitably you'll pay the price, right? You'll suffer harm. You want to hang around fools, well, eventually you're going to suffer. You're going to pay the price if you hang around the wrong things. You hang around foolish things. And throughout the book of Proverbs, right, we're kind of warned that way and encouraged that way. So a lot of the message of Proverbs, like if I were to summarize Proverbs in like just a few little quips, it would be like this. Hey, don't be stupid. Don't be proud. Don't be an idiot, right? Surround yourself with wisdom and not fools. That's basically Proverbs, right? That surround yourself with wisdom, right? And things will tend to typically go well with you. And surround yourself with fools, and things will typically not go too well with you. Things will usually go bad for you. So here's the challenge tonight. Okay, I'm going to give you guys a little bit of a brain melt, I think, hopefully, right up front of you. Here's the challenge. Okay, what if, and this is not a hypothetical or a theoretical thing. This is a real situation. We'll find out here in just a second. But what if one of those foolish companions that Proverbs 13:20 warns us about is always with us wherever we go, right? That no matter where you go, what you're doing, there is one particular foolish companion that you cannot get away from that is always with you, then what? Right, anybody know what I'm talking about? Any guesses? Anybody? Talking about your heart, which is sort of in there, okay? We're rolling in the same direction here. Right, your heart is actually one of those foolish companions that Proverbs 13:20 warns us about, that's always with us wherever we go. We can't get away from it, and there it is, always with this potential to influence us for harm, right? We're talking about our hearts tonight, right? What the Bible calls your heart, right? It's that part of you that's at the very center of who you are, right? Your heart is where all your dreams and desires and longings and ambitions live. It's that part of you that drives you. It's where your will is. It's where your thoughts and your motivations come from. I mean, your heart is sort of that inside part of you, that spiritual, emotional, mental core of who you really are on the inside. And it can be this really foolish companion that leads you into a world of misery and suffering, and it's always with you. Right? And so that's why tonight I want to talk to you about not listening to your heart, but leading your heart. Right? Not listening to your heart, but leading your heart. Okay, if you go home and mom and dad are like, hey, what'd you talk about tonight? If you could just remember this one thing, they'll be like, okay, I guess they paid attention a little bit. Right? Not listening to your heart, but leading your heart. We're going to talk about leading your heart tonight. Right, so two halves to this message, right? Not listening to your heart and then leading your heart. So let's just talk a little bit about not listening to your heart. Why not? Right? Why would I even say, why would Joe even say, hey, your heart can be this foolish companion that you really shouldn't listen to? Why would I even say that? Well, I'm sure you guys have all heard sort of the classic idea, hey, follow your heart, right? Follow your heart. Right, comes up in music, comes up in movies, like you hear that all the time. And the basic idea of hey, follow your heart, the basic idea is like that your heart, right, is sort of like this compass that's inside of you, right? It's sort of like guiding you, that your heart can guide you and lead you to true happiness, right? If you just have the courage to follow it, right? Have the courage to listen to your heart, have the courage to follow your heart, right? Right. Like if you just have the courage to do what your heart is telling you to do, if you want to fulfill your dreams, fulfill your destiny, fulfill your potential, then follow your heart. Right? Right? If you feel lost, if you feel stuck, if you feel like nobody gets you, if you feel like you need guidance, you need direction in life, then listen to your heart. Follow your heart. Your heart will save you. Your heart will guide you. Your heart will lead you. Your heart will tell you the right thing to do. Trust it. Follow it. Right? I mean, that's almost every Disney movie, more or less. And I like Disney movies, so it's not a knock on Disney movies. It's just that's the message that's constantly sort of given to us, right? We hear that all the time. So everybody's heard that, right? Is there anybody in this room who's never heard, hey, follow your heart? Didn't think so. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. So let me give you three reasons why that might not be such a good idea after all. Right, three reasons why that might not be such a good idea. One is because our hearts are actually sick. Right? Listen to this. This is God's word. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" Right? In other words, the Bible says that our hearts have like this basic disease, right? That our hearts have this sickness. If you went to the doctor, right, and the doctor ran a bunch of tests on you and whatnot, and the doctor does what he does, and then the doctor came back to you and said, "Yeah, guess what? Got bad news. You are desperately sick." Right? Right? If you went to the doctor, I mean, imagine going to the doctor tomorrow. You wake up, you sort of go, and he goes, "Yeah, done the test. You're really, really sick." Right? You're desperately sick. Like if the doctor said that to you, you would say to the doctor, "Man, doc, wow, that sounds really bad. That doesn't sound very good." And then check this out. Then you might say something like, well, doc, it's kind of funny because I don't feel very sick." And the doctor might say something like this: "Well, with the kind of disease that you have, you don't always feel it." Right? You don't always feel it. You may not know it. You can't really tell. But guess what? The tests are in, right? The tests have come back. And I'm telling you, you are definitely sick, even if you don't feel it, even if you can't tell it. And guess what? That's exactly what the Bible does here in God's word, right? The great physician of our soul, the Lord himself, opens up his word to us. And he says, "Guys, guess what? Tests are in. I've got the diagnosis. And here it is. Your heart is desperately sick. And guess what? Here's why you don't always feel like it's sick. Here's why it won't always you know, you won't always think that you're sick. You won't always know that you're sick. Here's why you don't feel sick. It's because the kind of sickness that you have makes your heart, quote, deceitful above all things. Right? It's deceitful, meaning you can't always trust what your heart feels. Right? Your heart has the kind of sickness where it's deceitful. And because it's deceitful, it lies to you. It tricks you. What you feel isn't always what's real. Right? It's the kind of sickness that deceives you. It means sometimes it'll make you feel things that aren't actually true. Right? Your heart will make you think things that aren't actually true. Right? Make you believe things that aren't actually true. Your heart can actually be quite delusional. Right? It'll lie to you. It'll trick you. So, point number one, why should you not always listen to your heart and follow your heart? Anybody? It's sick. And it has the kind of sickness that does what? It tricks you. It deceives you. Right? You don't always feel sick, but you are. Right? Which leads me to the second reason you don't always want to listen to, and you shouldn't always listen to or follow your heart. Because not only is it sick, but check this out, it's sociopathic. Right? It's sociopathic. A heart that is deceitful above all things and desperately sick is also a heart that has sociopathic tendencies, meaning it'll tell you crazy things. Right? Your heart ever told you crazy things? Right? You ever sort of had things brewing up in your heart? Be like, man, I don't know, that's kind of crazy. Well, guess what? Your heart has sociopathic tendencies, meaning, it's telling you oftentimes things like this, that you're the center of the universe, right? That everything should always go the way that you want it to go. It'll tell you to usually think the best about you and the worst about others. It'll make you think that you're always right and everybody else is always wrong, or at least mostly wrong, right? It'll tell you things. It won't always tell you the truth, but it will tell you what you want. Right? It'll tell you what you want to hear. That's what your heart does. Our hearts are pathologically selfish like that. Right? Proverbs 22:15 says that foolishness is bound up in the heart, which means that there's something in your heart that will try to get you to feel and think and believe and say and do all kinds of crazy things that are actually really, really harmful for you, really bad for you, but your heart will tell you, no, it's fine. It's cool, it's good, it's perfectly fine, don't worry about it, it's no big deal, right? I mean, your heart can be crazy like that, right? It has sociopathic tendencies. Jesus said in Matthew 15, verse 19, that out of the heart comes, right, here's what comes out of this crazy heart of yours, evil thoughts, murder, adultery, immorality, theft, false witness, meaning lying, slander. All of these things come out of our hearts, right? It's in there, right? Which means it makes your heart something that you should be really leery about following and listening to, right? It's not only sick, it's sociopathic, it's foolish. There's all kinds of craziness bound up in there. It doesn't always tell you the truth. It tricks you, it lies to you, it deceives you, right? It leads you down all kinds of crazy paths. So the Bible says your heart is sick, it's sociopathic. Thirdly, you like this word, it's necrotic. Anybody know what that means? Anybody heard the word necrotic before? Necrosis, necrotic. Anybody know what necrotic or necrosis means? Sort of what are we talking about? Anybody? Rach, you got a hand up? Yeah. Okay, so necrotic. If something's necrotic or something's, if you're talking about necrosis, we're talking about things that are dying or dead, right? Right, necrosis means dying, dead. It's talking about, it's sort of related to death. Well, here's what the Bible says about our hearts. The Bible says that our hearts are dead in sin. Right, that apart from the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit, that our hearts are spiritually dead in sin. Right, so we all come into this world with a heart that's naturally, again, apart from the regenerating work of God's Spirit, our hearts are necrotic. Right? They're dead in sin, which means they're enslaved to sin. And if our hearts are dead in sin, if they're enslaved to sin, here's what that means. It means that they're insensitive to the things of God. Right? Insensitive to truth. Right? Cut off from God. right? Naturally led astray from God, led astray to sin, following its own passions, its own desires, led astray to disobedience and destruction, Ephesians 2 says. And actually, even beyond just disobedience and destruction, that our hearts, if you just live your whole life following and listening to your heart, to this necrotic heart, if you have a heart that is dead in sin and you spend your whole life just listening to it and following it, not only does it lead you to destruction and folly, it leads you to damnation itself because it's cut off from God. Right? Our hearts, so here's the point, our hearts need to be brought from spiritual death to spiritual life. Right, because they're necrotic, right? That's actually what Jesus was talking about when he was talking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, when he told Nicodemus that he needed to be born again. But he was talking about, Nicodemus, your heart needs to be made alive spiritually, right? Because it's by itself, naturally, apart from God's work in your life, your heart's dead spiritually. So Nicodemus, you need to be born again. Your heart needs to be made alive, right? Because Jesus understood that our hearts are sick, our hearts are sociopathic, and apart from the powerful work of God's Spirit in your life, your heart is necrotic. It's dead in sin and dead to God, right? And that's not good. That makes your heart something, I don't know if I want to follow that, right? For all of you zombie fans, Walking Dead kind of fans, I don't want to follow those things. I don't want to follow walkers. I don't want to follow zombies. Like, that's bad news. Well, you got something like that in you, right? Apart from the work of God's Spirit in your life, changing your heart. And so here's the point, right? When Proverbs 13:20 talks about a companion of fools will suffer harm, man, guys, it's really, really tough. It's really, really tough when one of those fools potentially lives right inside of you, in your own heart. And everywhere you go, you're taking it with you. And everywhere you go, it's influencing you. Everywhere you go, it's talking to you. Right, it's sick and it's deceitful and it's foolish and it has all kinds of crazy things in there, and it often doesn't tell you the truth, and it often tries to say, hey, feel this, hey, do this, and it's nuts, man. It's hard then to not be influenced by that. It's like, man, what do I do if my heart is always with me and my heart's always trying to mess with me and I can't trust it, but I can't get away from it. What do I do? Am I stuck? You know, what do I do? Right? Well, what do you do? And that's why I want to try to convince you tonight. I want to finish. This is the second half of the message. I want to finish by trying to convince you to not listen to your heart, but to lead it. To not listen to your heart, but to lead it. Right? Don't follow your heart. Lead your heart, right? Don't let your heart lead you. No, you lead your heart. Does that make sense? Don't let your heart lead you. You lead your heart. Now, you might ask yourself, how in the world do I do that? Great question. Let me see if I can help you out a little bit. Okay? Three points here. First, how do I lead my heart so that my heart doesn't lead me? How do I lead it so that I'm not listening to it? How do I lead it so that I'm not following it? First point, right? Jesus said in John 14:1, okay, hear this. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Right? Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God and believe also in me. John 14:1. In other words, the first step in leading your heart so that it doesn't lead you, but you lead it, the first step in leading your heart is to lead your heart to God and specifically to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Lead your heart to Christ, who is God, right? Come in the flesh, right? Emmanuel, God with us. Like the Jesus is the image of the invisible God, Colossians 1:15 says, right? Fully God and fully man. So when Jesus said, hey, believe in God and believe also in me, Jesus is not telling us two separate things there. He's telling us essentially one thing. He's saying, listen, your heart, okay, let not your heart be troubled. Instead, lead your heart to the Lord Jesus. Lead your heart to me. Right? Lead your heart to Christ. And here's why. Only Jesus can cleanse your heart. Only Jesus can make your heart new. Right? Only he can cleanse it and make it new so that your heart then willingly surrenders to his lordship. Right? To the kingship of Jesus. In other words, the best way to lead your heart is to lead it to Christ so that Christ can lead you. Right? You want to lead your heart? Lead it to Christ so that Christ can lead you. Right? The heart that is not surrendered to Jesus, right? That's not trusting him. That's not listening to him. That's not believing him. That's not following him. That's not obeying him. That heart is the heart that will continually be led astray. Right? Deceiving you, tricking you, hurting you. Right? Your heart needs Jesus to sit upon the throne of your heart so that Jesus is the Lord of your heart, right? The ruler of your heart, the master of your heart. And until he does, right? Until Jesus Christ is living on the throne of your heart as your Lord and your master and your God, right? Until that happens, you know what you're sort of like? You're like a fool living with another fool right inside of you, right? You're like the blind leading the blind, right? That's a really bad combo. Right? I mean, I know that we talk a lot about Jesus saving us from our sin, Jesus saving us from hell, Jesus saving us from the judgment of God, and those are really, 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 really important things. Those are the main things. Those are the things, when we talk about Jesus saving us, those are the things that we need Jesus to save us from. But gang, guess what? Sometimes, you know what we really need? We need Jesus to save us from ourselves, don't we? I mean, if I've got this foolish companion in my heart, that's sick and sociopathic and necrotic, that lies to me all the time and deceives me and tricks me, right? My heart is often delusional and foolish and selfish and proud, and it's going to get me into all kinds of trouble. Man, if I don't lead that heart to Jesus, right, so that he can rule my heart, then I'm in a lot of trouble. I need Jesus to save me from myself. I need Jesus to save me from my heart. Give me a new one. So let me ask you a question tonight. Have you come to Jesus believing that he alone is the Savior who can cleanse your heart and make it new? Right? Have you come to Jesus trusting in him as the Lord of your heart, right? The Lord of your life, and saying to Jesus, Jesus, listen, I surrender to you. Jesus, I want to listen to you. Right? I want to obey you. I want to follow you. I want to go your way and not my way. Right? Jesus, I want to do what you say and not what my heart says. Lord, I don't want to do what my heart says. I want to do what you say, Jesus. I don't want to trust my heart. My heart is deceptive. My heart is foolish. So Lord, I don't want to trust my heart anymore. God, I want to trust you, Lord. I want to trust you. I don't want to listen to my heart anymore. I want to listen to you, Jesus. Listen, if you want to lead your heart so that it doesn't lead you, because when it leads you, that's not a good thing. But if you want to lead your heart to Jesus. Lead your heart to Christ so that Christ can lead you. Right? That's number one. Second thing, lead your heart to his word. Right? Right? If you're gonna lead your heart to Christ, right, so that he can lead you, well, the Lord Jesus will lead you through his word, right, through this. You want to lead your heart, you lead your heart to Christ's word, right? If you're going to listen to Jesus and not just your heart, then you need to listen to Jesus in his word, right? If you're going to do what Jesus says and not just do what your heart says and what your heart tells you, then you need to know what his word says to you. Right, so that you can do what he says and not just what your heart says. And here's the thing. His word, this word, God's word, Christ's word, God's word is true. God's word is good. God's word is right. Right? God's word interprets reality as it really is and not just how your heart thinks that it is. Or how your heart wants to believe that it is. Or how your heart feels like it should be. No, God's word tells us what is. Tells us what's true, tells us what's right, tells us what's good. God's word interprets reality. And here's the thing: when your heart, right, if there is anything that your heart is telling you tonight that's contrary to what God tells you in His Word, then your word is actually telling you something contrary to what's true. Right? If your heart tonight is telling you or wanting you to believe anything different or anything contrary to what God's Word tells you, then your heart is trying to get you to think and feel and believe something that's not good, that's not right, that's not true, that's different from reality. And here's the thing. I am willing to bet, and if I could see into your heart tonight, I'd put money down, but I can't see into your heart, so I can't put any money down, and it'd be a really weird bet anyway. But I'm willing to bet that there are people in this room right now, whose hearts are telling them to think differently than what God's Word says is good, right, and true. I'm willing to bet that there are people in this room right now whose hearts want them to feel differently than what God's Word says is right, good, and true. But there are people in this room right now whose hearts are trying to get them to believe differently than what God's Word says is right, good, and true. And that's why your heart needs to be led, so that it doesn't lead you. And if you want to lead your heart, you lead your heart to Christ, and you lead your heart to Christ's Word. Right? Because if God's Word is what tells us what is good and right and true and real and fact, right? If God's Word is what leads us in the way that we should go, and your heart is trying to tell you something contrary to what God's Word is telling you, and your heart is like, don't worry, it's fine, it's cool, it's good, no big deal, don't worry about it. Listen, no, anytime your heart wants to tell you to think and live and believe and feel contrary to what God's Word is saying, your heart is deceiving you. Okay? Your heart's lying to you. Right? Your heart's like Gollum says, it's a trickster. Right? It's trying to pull the wool over your eyes. Right? That's the sick part of your heart talking. That's the sociopathic part of your heart talking. And you know what you need to tell your heart in moments like that? When your heart wants you to believe and feel and think differently than what God's Word says is true and real and good and right, you need to tell your heart, when your heart is all riled up and wants to tell you to think and believe differently than what God's Word says, here's what you say to your heart. You say, heart, shut your mouth. Stop talking to me. And heart, listen. God, I'm going to listen to Him. Because God's word's not going to lie to me. God's word's not going to trick me like you are, heart. God's word's not going to deceive me. God's word's not going to lead me down the wrong path, right? God's going to lead me into the way of truth, in the way of righteousness, in the way of life, in the way of blessing. And so I don't want to listen to my heart. I don't want to listen to you, heart. I want to listen to what God has to say to me. And so here's what you need to learn how to do. Friends, you need to learn how to take God's word, right? Open it up, get it in your eyes, get it in your brain, get it in your heart, and you need to learn how to preach and talk God's word to yourself, right? And say to your heart, heart, listen up. Here's what's real. Heart, here's what's true. Heart, here's what's good. Heart, here is what is real. And heart, I don't really care how you feel about that right now. Because heart, what you feel isn't always what's real. Okay, God, what God says is what's real. And so heart, even if you feel differently than what God says is real, I'm going with what God says and not with what you feel. And you have to learn how to talk to your heart like that. And take your heart to task like that. And preach truth to your heart. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who's one of my all-time favorites, he said this, and I've learned a lot about how to do this from Martin Lloyd-Jones. Listen to this. I love this. Here's what he says. Some of the best counsel you may ever get in your life right now. He says, I say that we must talk to ourselves instead of allowing ourselves or our hearts to talk to us. Have you realized that most of your unhappiness in life is due to the fact that you are listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself? Take those thoughts that come to you, that start talking to you, and instead of allowing them to talk to you, you talk to them. The main art in the matter of spiritual living is to know how to handle yourself. You have to take your heart in your hand and address it and preach to it and question it. You must turn on it and exhort it and say to it and remind it of God and who God is and what God is and what God has done and what God has said. That is the essence of the matter, to understand that this self that is in you, this heart, has to be handled. Speak to your heart what is true of God instead of placidly listening to it and allowing it to drag you down. Anybody in this room know how to do that? Right. Where do you need to spend more time talking to your heart instead of listening to it? Right. Taking what God says to you, what's good and right and true and real, and taking that and speaking and talking to your heart about that. When your heart wants to think over here, feel over here, and believe over here, and do over there, and live over here. And you say, no, heart, we're going right here. Right? Right? Don't let your heart lead you. You lead your heart. You lead it to Christ. You lead it to his word. And you let that word of truth, Jesus said, John 17:17, you let that word speak to you. And you lead, right, your sick, sociopathic, lying, deceiving, ever-changing, constantly fickle heart, you lead that heart with the never-changing truth of God's word, right? Thirdly, finally, lastly, here we go. We lead our hearts to Christ, we lead our hearts to his word, and lastly, we lead our hearts by the power of the Spirit, by the power of the Spirit, right? Some of you in this room need God's Spirit to bring you from spiritual death to spiritual life. Right, because I don't assume everybody in this room is born again. I don't assume everybody in this room is a Christian. So some of you are still dead in your sin, and you need to be born again. Right? You need God's Spirit to make you alive in Christ. Right? Alive in Christ and dead to sin. Right? Romans 6 says. Right? Instead of Ephesians 2, which says we're dead in sin. Right, we need to be made alive in Christ so that we're now dead to sin. Not dead in sin, dead to sin and alive. Alive in God, alive in God, and alive in Christ. Right, and it takes the power of God's Spirit to do that, right, to change us that way. And so in just a moment, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray that God's Spirit, right, would bring spiritual life to your heart, would breathe spiritual life into you, would wake you up. Right, so, I mean, it's crazy to think about, but it is the reality that there's literally people I'm probably talking to right now who are dead spiritually, right? And that's why I want to pray, man. It's a miracle of God's Spirit to be woken up, to be made alive to the realities of God and his word and the gospel. And so I just want to pray tonight that some of you, that God would just wake you up to the realities and the truth of God and his gospel and his word, so that you would trust in Christ and you'd begin to follow him. Even tonight. And then for others who are in this room who are alive in Christ, for those of you who are believers, you are Christians, I want to pray for you too, because guess what? You still need the ongoing, daily, empowering presence of God's Spirit helping you and enabling you to believe God's word over your heart, right? To follow him and not your heart. We need God's Spirit to empower us to do that. We need God's Spirit empowering us, reminding us of what's true, right? Reminding us, go back to God's word, reminding us of who God is and what God has said and what God has done, right? So that we're not just sort of led around blindly by the deceitfulness of our own heart, right? Led around blindly by the feelings of our own heart. No, we need God's Spirit, man. We need God's Spirit to just awaken the word of truth to us. And so I want to pray for you tonight too, for those of you who are believers, just that God would freshly fill you with a Spirit empowering you and enabling you to do the things that we're talking about tonight. But here's the one kicker I want to add. If you want to lead your own heart when you walk out of here tonight, then you got to learn how to pray yourself. Right? To pray every day and to pray throughout the day for God's Spirit every day throughout the day. God, send your Spirit. Holy Spirit, fill me afresh today. Holy Spirit, empower me today. Every day, praying for God's Spirit to come to lead you, because you need God's strength. You need the Spirit's help and the Spirit's strength, right, to do this, to lead your heart. Right, your heart is a really tough customer. I can testify to this in my own life. Your heart doesn't want to be led. I promise you. Okay, your heart wants to lead you. Okay, your feelings can be really tough customers. Right? They are strong. Your heart is not an easy thing to lead. Your heart will fight back. Actually, you start talking to your heart, I promise you, it will fight back. Right? It will not want to listen. Right? Your heart will say, don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me what to think. Don't tell me what to believe. I know what I believe. I know what I feel. Your heart will tell you that. Your heart will say, don't tell me what to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. Right? You will not feel like leading your heart all the time. It is a really tough customer. Right? The one thing you know that you should do in that moment, preach truth to yourself. You will not feel like doing that. And that is why you need God's Spirit every single day, yourself. You're praying. You're asking, God, give me strength today. Give me grace today. Empower me today. Help me to do that, Lord. Make my heart soft, Lord. Make my heart want to surrender to the Lord Jesus and to his word. You got to be in constant prayer for that. So I want to pray for you in a moment that the Lord and the Spirit would be at work in your heart. But in summary, here's the deal, right? Don't let your heart lead you. Don't let your heart lead you so that you listen to it and that you follow it. Instead, you lead your heart. Right? Lead your heart so that it listens to and it follows Christ and his word and his Spirit. Right? That's wisdom, friends. Right? That's life. That's blessing. That's freedom. Amen? Father, I pray, Lord, I pray for my friends in this room right now. This is a hard thing to do, Lord, at every stage of life. I think there's something about the teenage years that can be particularly hard. There's all kinds of things we think. There's all kinds of things we feel. Lord, our hearts, when we're teenagers, are particularly prone to be selfish. It's always the case. But, Lord, there's unique temptations. Lord, our hearts are particularly proud when we're teenagers, or are particularly prone when we're teenagers to be proud. We do. Our hearts tell us all the time, I already know that. Don't talk to me. Don't tell me. But our hearts are such tricky things. Lord, they're deceitful. They're hard. Lord, they're crazy. Lord, there's things living in our hearts that aren't good. And so, Lord, I pray tonight for my friends. Lord, I do pray for those who are here in this room right now, who are spiritually dead. Lord, they're just in bondage. It's like everything I'm saying tonight, Lord, it's like button up against a brick wall, Lord. It gets nowhere. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would break down that wall, Lord, that you would cause, Lord, hard, dead hearts to just come alive to the truth, Lord, and to turn and to follow you and to put their hope and their trust in you, Lord Jesus, to know, Lord, that to follow you is the way of life. It's the way of wisdom. It's the way of salvation. It's where forgiveness is. It's where a very relationship with God is. And Lord God, you made us for yourself, and our hearts never find rest until we find our rest in you. Lord, there's never any true joy or satisfaction until our hearts come and surrender to you. And so, Lord, I pray for hearts tonight that are not surrendered to you, that they would be surrendered to you. Lord, grant life tonight, I ask. And Father, I pray for my friends here tonight, Lord, that want to follow you. Lord, they want to honor you, Lord Jesus. They trust in you. They believe that you are the Savior who has forgiven them from their sin, as you died on the cross for them and rose to life, so that in you there is now new life in Christ. And Lord, they want to follow you as Lord. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come, that you would fill them afresh with power, with grace, with strength, to not be led by their heart, but instead to lead their heart. Lord, that every day throughout the day that they would be relying upon you and depending upon you and calling out to you. Lord, that they would be faithful to be in your word. Lord, so that the truth of what's real and what's good and what's right, Lord, that they would hide your word in their heart. Lord, and that through that word, Lord, that you'd lead them. Lord, that your word, Lord, your truth would just prevail over the deceitfulness of their hearts. And Lord, I do pray, Lord, for anybody here tempted. And we're all tempted in different ways. Every single person in this room in different ways. Lord, where our hearts want us to think differently or believe differently or feel differently or somehow just led somewhere else other than what you say is good and right and true. Lord, grant grace to bring those thoughts, to bring those feelings, to bring those beliefs. Lord, to just bring that mindset, Lord, under submission to your word and say, no. My heart doesn't know best. The Lord God knows best. And I'm going to trust him. And I want to follow him. And what I feel isn't always real, but what God says is real. I can trust that. And so, Lord, give grace to those who just need particular help in particular areas with that, that you would help them to do that. And Lord, in all of these things, Lord, we ultimately ask that you would be glorified, that you would be honored in our life. And Lord, we do believe that as our lives are surrendered to you, Lord, there's blessing in that. There's life in that. There's goodness in that. And Lord, we want that. We need that. Lord, we want to honor you by believing what you say. So Holy Spirit, would you come tonight? Would you do these things? We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right, well, gang, here's what we're going to do.